Dimp Digital presents Idle Game Chat.
Cool!
Hello, Apps here from Dimp Digital. Welcome to Idle Game Chat. This is Dimp Digital's flagship video game podcast where we share our impressions of the video games that we have been playing. Back for another episode here, another one in the can. We're close approaching Easter, so not this week and not next week, but the week after, there will be no Idle Game Chat. So if you're on the free feeds and you usually expect an episode on the Monday, April the 1st, and it's not an April Fool's joke, there will be no episode. We take a bank holiday break here at Idle Game Chat when it pertains to us in the UK. We have several of those scattered throughout the year, other than like the usual sort of holidays that most people get over the festive and Christmas period in the Western world. So just a bit of a heads up, I will remind people on the next edition as well that is happening. Just to give you a little heads up there. As for this episode, the focus is going to shift to Planet of Lana. A lovely little... I think it's an indie game. I don't know what the definition of indie is these days. Because, it's a little bit muddy. It looks indie in spirit, I would say. Whether it's actually truly independently funded and has a budget of whatever, I don't know, but it may well have been published by like something like Annapurna, and then is that an indie? I don't know. We're getting into a discussion that we don't have time to get into, but that's the thought I want to leave you with just as we transition into Planet of Lana. Adkins joins the show again. New little visual setup for him. So for the video viewer, he's going to get a little treat where he's sitting on his little couch where he normally gets his games. Is he more comfortable? Is he less comfortable? I'll let you guys be the judge of that. But Adkins will give us his opinion on Planet of Lana. And as usual, we will see you on the other side.
All right, this is Biff here. Quick report on Prince of Persia Lost Crown. Surprised how much I enjoyed it. Was really good. Combat was quite good, traversal was quite good, getting new moves. Reminded me a little, it's not really like how I played it on PS2, but I can sort of see the similarities. But it's obviously a different game, a side-scrolling sort of game. Was really enjoying it, but trying to get around the map, I just found so much aggro, and I decided to bin it. I reckon I was over halfway, but I just got so sick of just trying to find my way from one area to another. There is fast travel, but you have to get to a fast travel point, and they're a pain in the bollocks to try and get to. And the enemies, just as soon as you do anything, they just reappear or respawn. So then you've got to go all the way through the enemies again. I just found it quite difficult in the end, and just it became more of a wear than it was enjoyable. The combat didn't outweigh the, getting from point A to point B, but it was quite good apart from that. But like I said, life's too short, so fuck it. Gave it a botched in and just binned it.
Here we are then, back with some game impressions to close out this edition of Idle Game Chat. You got Apps here, and I'm joined by the new lounge merchant, Tom Adkins, not a cock.
They call him the Sloth. He's now lounging about in his forebode.
And now he's got full fibre broadband, he's decided to do this setup.
Oh, absolute raping it.
Has it made much of a difference, like downloading games or anything, since you got it?
To be fair, I downloaded the Rebirth demo. It was about 50 gig, yeah. And it done it in 25 minutes. I was like, oh, that wasn't too bad. Did say, because it was only yesterday, they did say it's going to be iffy for the next few days while they're sort of updating it and all that, so I won't get peak performance. No. I was getting like over 300 last night, that's more than I've ever had. But they said it should be, when it goes up to scratch, it should be about 600, he reckoned. I was like,
Because I always wondered whether, like, especially like downloading off the PlayStation Store or the Xbox Store, even Steam, whether, yes, you can have 300, 600, 1 gig download, but if the servers there end doesn't allow for that to be tapped into, you get stuck with this 5 meg toot that I've seen floated around a couple of times.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's actually a thing nowadays, or whether you can just brute force your way through.
Potentially, yeah, I'm not really too... when I was talking to the child, so I really don't know much about this, mate. Yeah. Like, currently, I've got two internets running at the same time. I've got my old Twitter as well, which the kids and the wife are on. I ain't letting them have a go on this new one until I really have to.
No, that's the way to do it. Well, hopefully they get it round... I'm not round the corner from you, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, it's not here. Road just further up's got it if you want it, but not this one.
Yeah.
I copped at it over a year and he's only further down the road.
That's unbelievable. Have you looked into yours then, or is it, or are you just that you want to stay with who you are?
No, it's not. They haven't done the ripping up of the roads and put the fibre in it. No, they haven't done it around here yet. They've just put in LED streetlights, so that's 5 years beyond the curve.
That's true.
Now you can actually see, if I take the dog out in the evening, I can see where I'm going without having to take a torch out, treading in dog shit because there's some idle cunt that's left
bright,
there.
Actually. I find they're quite bright, but they only sort of illuminate underneath them. They don't do the rest of the road.
Yeah, well, it's better than what we had before. Those orange shitters didn't illuminate anything. It may as well have been dark. So, upgrades finally happened. And my view is that the council tax should reflect the facility. So, LED lighting, that should have been, I should have been discounting from not having that. No full fibre allowed yet. That should be discounted 50%.
Yeah, cars being stolen on Alexander Road at the weekend. Young Norman's son was stolen from his abode. No policing in this village either. Get that council tax.
Reminds me of Cyberpunk. It says that specifically in one of the tool tips. It's like there's a lot of crime going on in Night City. Yeah. The police don't get involved in small fry stuff and just let the civilians deal with it themselves. And I was like, well, that's not technically true, because I've been set upon by those fucking coppers for seemingly defending myself. So I don't know if that's necessarily true. But Cyberpunk, we're not here to talk about. Not just yet. One day we definitely will. Planet of Lana. That's what we've got here.
Mm.
Now, this is a game developed by Wishfully, who I've never played or played in their games before. Published by Thunderful Publishing. Again, not aware of any of that. But I guess the main pull of this was that it was lurking on that Game Pass. Now, it's a 17 UK pounder without that. But it was day in day on that Game Pass, and you had a little flutter with Game Pass, a little, what was it, a 1 month, 2 month, 3 month spell? Come on, what you did now.
But I think I paid 4 months. When I got it a couple of days or weeks before Starfield came out.
Yeah.
Went through that and sort of left it overhanging. It was like, oh, and then just before Christmas, I had this little barrage of playing these sort of smaller games, which I knew I could try and polish off and then get some numbers under my belt to claim I've been playing loads of games this year. Or last year, sorry. So, it was like a barrage of about 4 or 5 games I played. And this was in the mix, nice little number. I think it probably took me about 4 to 5 hours. Go back and... I think I tried to get the 100%, I can't remember. No, it was got everything, but I think there was one of going through it and... on hard or something like that.
Yeah, sometimes they do things like these smaller games where it's like you could get the platinum or the 100%, whatever it is, but they add some silly bollocks thing like go through the whole game without dying.
That's the one.
I'm sure I could do it, but and it's only 4 hours technically, but I don't. No, I don't fancy that.
Exactly. That is exactly it. That was the trophy that I didn't get, was to go through without dying.
Yeah. It's not
ideal. It's not a typically too challenging game, but it's almost like a sort of permadeath run, and I was just like, do you know what?
I suspect, and we'll get into this, but there might be like stages where it's almost like an insta-fail if you come out at the wrong point. Yeah. Like there's no, it just doesn't give you any way to fight it back, so I can see what... I mean, I think there's a trophy like that for Last Guardian, like Don't Die, and I was like...
Oh, is it?
I mean, that's one where you could just fall off the fucking ledge and go down, but... Yeah, well, I don't be liking those ones.
Finally, you mentioned The Last Guardian. This game did have very much... Is that got a thing that... Ico, Shadow Colossus, Last Guardian. Is that got a specific studio genre. To do that.
I think it was. I think he used to call themselves Team Ica. I mean, I can look it up exactly.
What was
called
it?
But then I think by the time Last Guardian came out, it eventually got finished as like a bit of a hodgepodge, as far as I remember. Like I think Engine, who was, they were contracted in. They were previously the team that had worked on it up until it sort of got half canned, with the help of Studio Japan. But you're telling me this has a bit of a.
Sort of feeling. It's very much akin to like the likes of like Limbo or Inside, which is what drew me to it. I remember seeing the trailer. I think it was like one of these directs, or was it one of it? It was either Xbox. Yeah, it must have been Xbox's one.
Yeah.
And it drew to because just of how nice it looks. A lot like. The Studio Ghibli games, or Ghibli, however you pronounce it.
Yeah.
The films, you know, them like anime, Disney-esque films. And the star, and I remember sort of seeing the trailer thinking, oh, that looks interesting. And it's, like I say, the ilk of something like Inside or Limbo, where it's just like a 2D side-scroller. Essentially sort of like a puzzle platformer, I'd say. You're sort of working your way through the map, trying to work out these little tasks. But the reason it reminded me of Ico, whatever it's called, is the main protagonist, like there's no dialogue in this game. They all have like this weird language that's like made up, and it's sort of noises, and there's no sort of subtitles or anything. It's all, you just sort of listen to the story and based on their sort of emotions and the sort of things that are happening in the world. So it's, yeah, it's quite sort of, it's not very narrative driven, but there is a story going throughout the game. It's sort of, it's a very stylistic game with the way it looks. It's quite a bit of a mixed mash of sort of different things. You know, you get these games where they sort of take a little bit from here, take a little bit from there. It did remind me of that.
It's sort of thieving.
Stealing. Yeah, thieving bug. It did remind me of that. So you had sort of the anime style in design, the Inside, and what were they called? Play Dead, is it? Is it Play Dead that did those games? Yeah, the Play Dead aspect from there, and then the sort of Ico. Well, that was very much a puzzle platformer as well, wasn't
it? Ico is, and
that's a good bit from there. But it wasn't too challenging. Weren't too challenging, to be fair. There were some easy puzzles. There's probably one. Two that sort of got me stuck and had to really think about it because it didn't really explain it much. It's very much one of those games where it just gives you the basics.
Yeah.
And you go, right, I'm on my own here. Yeah. But the sort of setting, the way it looks, and certainly the music was a big standout as well. Mm. What sort of drew me to it as well and really enjoyed. But yeah.
Interesting.
You know,
so just to get the facts right. On this Shadow of the Colossus nonsense. It's not nonsense. It's a great game. So the main link is the chap called Fumito Ueda. He's the main big cheese. Okay, so he's the DNA between all these. You had Team Ico, who formed part of or in conjunction with Japan Studio to do Ico, and also Shadow of the Colossus. Then you had Last Guardian start development. At some point during that phase, Team Ico kind of disbanded and Ueda set up a new studio called Gen Design. And then The Last Guardian was completed with Gen Design and Japan Studio in conjunction. They sort of contracted them back in to get it over the line.
Right.
And now Gen Design, that's the only thing they've really released or got their name to is The Last Guardian. And the last time they teased something was 2021. So who knows what Ueda is up to? Someone can tell me.
Guardian, that took like 10 years in the end, was it? Or was it more than that?
I think it's 2009. And then it was planned to release in like 2011, like before the PS4 came along.
Oh, that's right.
And then it just literally disappeared until 2015 and actually came out in 2016. So it's about 6 or 7 years. But it was a game that everyone assumed was cancelled and then came back. And I'm still waiting for me fucking 60fps patch on my PS5 for that. But, well, apparently if you install it off the disc and don't update it, there's a mode that's got an unlocked frame rate, so it can Don't know why, but no one's going back to correct this. It's going to be left, I think. Dirty bastards. Put it on the PC, you cowards. Anyway.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
Planet of Lana. So that's interesting there. I was going to read the store page. Yep. This is on the Xbox app on this PC, which is basically a Game Pass app at this stage. A planet that used to be a place of undisturbed balance between human nature and animals now becomes something else entirely. The disharmony that has been in the making for hundreds of years has finally arrived in the form of a faceless army. But this is not a story about war. This is a story about a vibrant, beautiful planet and the journey to keep it that way. Key features: unique companion-based gameplay. Solve puzzles with diverse challenges and quirky twists. Carefully navigate dangerous situations using stealth and wit. Use your reflexes and survive challenging action sequences. Discover an epic story that stretches across galaxies and centuries. Planet of Lana. An off-Earth Odyssey.
Off-Earth Odyssey. I was just thinking to myself, I forgot about the companion thing. That's very pivotal to the game. What was that?
Is it a cat? I remember seeing this. Is it like a cat or something? I can't remember what it was. It's essentially like a little cat.
Type thing. Yeah. It reminded me, you don't do it in Ori and the Wisp, but you're just on your own, aren't you? I know you've got that.
Yeah, I've not played them. I've only seen lurking.
So it's got that sort of vibe. So basically, you start off and you're in a little village, and then I think it's your brother or your sister. You're not quite sure because it doesn't really explain it. Mm. But she's taken away by robots. They invade your town, and she's taken away from your robot. And then you're sort of chasing the robot trying to find your sister.
Yeah.
And then, you fall upon this little creature that's like, it's essentially is like a little cat. And you can sort of command it to go and open doors and stay there. And they implement that very well into the puzzle platforming. So it's just getting through different little scenarios and indicating it. It's a bit like also, again, stealing.
Thieving.
What was that? Kenya. Was it Kenna? No, Kenna.
Oh, yeah.
You had them little blob things, didn't you? And you could tell them
to go
over there.
Oh, yeah, the little Pikmin shit.
It's very much a bit like that, really. They sort of just implemented it to that. So, it's a shame. I don't think you can. I'm pretty sure you can't. If you could play it as a co-op, as people would say. It had that very much that sort of vibe to it it's a sort of journey, just these two little characters going across this world on a phone system. But some good puzzles, not as brain scratching as Cocoon, I'd say.
I was going to ask about this because they're not the same game, but I could imagine they could scratch a similar itch in the short. You know, they're from a set perspective. They're not like full 3D AAA. Like there's a lot of puzzling to be done. And I was wondering.
I reckon this probably could be done in one good, decent city.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon if you've smashed it out, you could probably get it done in about four and a half, something like that.
It says here on How Long to Beat, which is integrated into this Xbox app now on the PC. Oh, yeah. Main story, 4 hours. Main story and extras, 5 hours. So, it's in that window, isn't it?
In that ballpark. So I think there's a couple of collectibles which I did go back and get. That's why I think my game time's a little bit over. I did go back through it. There's a couple I missed. A bit like on that Cocoon, they had them, what was it? You had like these things you had to find, didn't you? I can't remember what
they were like hidden. Yeah, I can't remember what they were called now. Like things to release, basically. And, miss a couple of those and you'd have to go back. But the good thing about Cocoon was it was more than a chapter select. You could go back per percentage and go back to almost any screen in the game. So that was helpful for that.
Yeah, this does have a chapter select in it. Nice. So you can go back. But some of the chapters are quite sort of lengthy. So if you had one towards the end, you've got to go through the whole thing and go through all the puzzles again, which I did have to do. But again, a nice short, sweet sort of story. But I've got to say the real sort of standout for me, it wasn't the puzzles. The puzzles were sort of very box standard and pretty fine. Well, I weren't sort of blown away with them, you know, like with Cocoon, I was really like, wow, that was some proper head scratching, innovative, like wow in puzzles. Whereas this is very much sort of, as you would understand, this is sort of built for a common average audience rather than the real hardcore puzzle platform.
They've watered it down, is what he's trying to say.
Yeah, I was going to say.
In comparison.
I reckon there was two two to three puzzles that really out of the whole lot, which is quite a lot. You know, you're probably looking at sort of 10 a chapter. Two and three had me stumped. The rest were very easy.
Yeah.
No, the sort of setting, the music, and just, just the look of it. It was very, very sort of thought-provoking, and that's something you don't really hear for a game that's essentially silent.
It's sort of
quite thought-provoking, and you do sort of build this emotional tie to this little character, even though you don't really know its name.
I was going to say, is there any dialogue at all? We've not written dialogue or anything like that.
You see her name. I believe it's his sister. I'll have to go back and correct. It was a couple of months
ago. It's a relative of some sort.
Yes, it's a relative of some sort. That's it. You're chasing him, and he's constantly shouting the name. So that's about it. Other than that, it's just noises from that little cat. It's just meowing. I don't know what it is. It's not a cat, but
it's something.
It looks like a cat. So there's very little dialogue. It's just sort of got that sort of War of the Worlds look to it as well with the machines.
I did pick up on that and think that seems like an influence on those.
There's definitely a lot of influence from all sorts of things. You've got Ghibli, you've got Inside, you've got Ico. You got the full. You got it all here. But no, it was an enjoyable experience. Nice and short. It didn't outstay its welcome. I think it's one of those games that if that was 10 hours long, I'd have gone, fuck me. What is this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a common problem in larger games anyway. You just kind of think, you've peaked 5 hours ago here and we're still going. We've got another third to go. But that's the good thing about these shorter games is they tend to not outstay their welcome. Even if they're not overly engaging, the ones that are in that 4 to 5 hour range, it's kind of like, it's hard for you to get bored that quickly. I find you might be a bit sick of it towards the end, but you know, it's not like you've been wasting weeks and weeks trying to slog through. Like, it can be done in a weekend, and you know, you're on to the next thing. So it's not a great tragedy if it's not to be played with. What's this? It's talking here about this stealth and this wit. Now, when I see stealth and wit being installed into games, it kind of concerns me. Yeah. What it normally means is there's a level of trial and error, and you work out what goes on. And it can sometimes it's down to timing. Like the Little Nightmare games are fraught with this. Like you bollock something up for a section, and then you've got to restart the whole thing.
Exactly.
Is that what happens here? And is it a pain in the arse, or is it nicely balanced? It's not too much.
It's not too much of a pain of ass. It would be an absolute fucking ball scruncher if you're trying to do that trophy or that achievement, that try not to die. Because, when it says stealth, this is not a Metal Gear Solid light. What stealth means is you're riding behind a bush.
Yes.
Basically. So, you'll get a scenario and a robot will be in your vicinity and you've got to try and get past that, or a spider or something like that. But the only way you can get past that is you sort of have to hide behind a bush and then send your little partner over. Sort of like, what's that story? The chicken that's in the office. You got the bone, the chicken, and the fox. They've seen the grain, the chicken. It's like that, basically. Yeah. You've got to figure out what to send over first.
Yeah. Can the little creature get killed by your own...
Yes, that costs you.
And that will cost you. Okay, right. So it's not like it's immune. You have to like time the movement of that and when to command that road.
There ain't no Ellie from The Last of Us 1.
Well, yeah, she was just stumbling around everywhere, jumping in the way, weren't she?
And then that's exactly it. So this has a command, and you can send him to his death, but that just does like a very much like an instant reset.
Yeah.
And luckily, with the power of that Xbox, it really is an instant reset. Yeah. You ain't waiting around. When you say you're using your wit, I mean, it's generous calling it wit. but stealth as well, I mean, that bush hiding, it's about as stealth as you use, really.
Okay.
And you've literally not got any, you've got two actions, I believe. You've got jump and grab.
Okay.
That is it.
That's your lot.
So you've got no combat in there, and this is zero combat.
Well, hang on, what's this little? Use your reflexes and survive challenging action sequences.
Well, there's quick time events.
Okay, right. Is that what they mean in there, do you think?
That's what they mean in that. There is no combat or anything. You cannot defeat
That's the best description of a quick time view. Use your reflexes for challenging action sequences. I never would have assumed that was just a quick time of pressing the button on time. Interesting.
Yeah. they're generously saying that, bless them. But now there's a few like little escape scenarios. Sort of, you know, box standard. But yeah, I wouldn't. It feels like something you should have combat. It'd be quite good to have like a combat version of it, so you could defend yourself. But no, it was it was sort of like different, but same. You know, like it's something. It's a nice, but what you always say, a lovely palate cleanser.
Yeah, clear those dirty old palates out.
Yeah, after you've played 140 hours of Sebens, you just went, right, rather than go straight into another 100 hours of Final Fantasy, you just want that.
And then straight into Persona 3 Reload. And then into Dragon's Dogma. And then into Rise of the Race Unstoppable.
It is, and that's bad. These are the little bumps that you want. Just a little joyful 4 hours, get it through the night. A bit like Abzu, I remember that. That was a nice little, you know, wasn't blowing your tits off, but it was just a nice little journey. Journey as well, another one.
Yeah, that's really good.
There's some influence from there as well. I'm pretty sure, they may have done another game, I'm not sure. I think this is certainly their debut big game. But that wishful thinking, I'm not too sure if they've done much else. Don't believe so, but... Certainly, I'd be interested to see what they do after this because it seemed to do well. I mean, straight to Game Pass, it's hard to sales. I don't know what they're going to be like, but certainly it seemed a few did play this after watching some reviews and stuff. After I finished it, it seemed to be quite on the streaming side as well. There's a lot of people streaming it. Seems to be one of those ones that, you know, you can get a good little stream one night, job done.
It was definitely one of the ones I saw, one of the bloody showcases that I saw this and was like, one to kind of look at, and then it came out and I just never did. I think because I kind of then saw Cocoon and then I was like, I'll wait for that. And then, you know, it was in between games and whatever and it never quite happened for it. But yeah, it definitely would scratch that itch. In terms of like when you die or you hit a fail state, how much progress is getting lost? Is it like just what's on the screen, or can it be a bit of a stinger?
Pretty good. There was one that really did sting me. Like, it was like I think I just jumped. It was a bit like Limbo. I jumped off the edge and fucking snapped my legs. And I was like, okay, maybe I was too high for that. But it pretty much locks it into these little challenges, these little puzzles. So when you get through to a room, it's auto saves there.
Okay.
So typically it's pretty good if you die, if you just go back to the beginning of that puzzle. And that's typically when you are dying, is when you're just trying to get out of these puzzles. For the majority of the puzzles, they're just platforming ones. So the only thing is that you can sort of break your legs, you're not getting killed. But it's like the ones where you're trying to stealth your way past certain robots or creatures. That's when you're dying the most. But yeah, normally, because it's a small section, it's the autosave is pretty good. But I do remember, I think it was one where I was trying to get this like hidden area that they have these shrines that you can collect. And I sort of done the puzzle, went too far, tried to go back but couldn't, and then died because I wanted to go back. But it took me back to the beginning of the chapter, and I was like, for fuck's sake.
Dirty buggers.
For the most part, it's decent in that respect.
Here's what Wishfully have done previously. So this is... hang on, have I got their fucking name right? What we got here? Yeah, Wishfully. So here we go. Wishfully. They've done Bauer Quiz. This is like the little description. Sunny hockey season, it says.
Remember the skates? Bauer Skates. Yeah. Roller City.
Well, they're located in Gothenburg and Stockholm, so the European mainland.
Oh,
titters.
Yes, it was. Yeah, I think I do remember the Swedish.
Yeah.
I did wonder if it was a Swedish voice, but I don't think it is. It's one of these sort of very much like an ICO made-up language.
Right. I gotcha. Then we've got Pabrikakablubin, and that's not even a lie. I've had a good go at that. An interactive world for ICA's Children's Club. Then we've got Veterans Online, Brainy Multiplayer Battles, and then we get to Planet of Lana, A Tale of Two Sisters. So there you go. Answers that question of it being a relative. Sister being handed out.
Oh, sisters. Right. There you go.
So there's that. I did not know that. For now, anyway.
A highly strong voice, young boy. Well, so there's your sexist.
That's what happens, unfortunately, on this show. Anything else? Any other business? I mean, you touched on the sound and whatnot. And
it's very much that sound. No. Not really. I mean, I think pretty much discussed everything the game has to offer. It's not a lot it does have to offer in terms of variety. You know, you ain't playing this game for its plethora of activities that it's doing. There ain't no side quests in here. You know, there's no mini games. It essentially is a walking simulator from like going through this planet, trying to find your sister. And you're just sort of going through the challenges that come ahead. And it's, like I say, the biggest takeaway for me, sort of, did have a sort of emotional impact in it,
stung him.
I was in bitter tears. No, I wasn't, but it did, because the music's very good. It sort of was on the heartstrings. Setting of the game, the sort of like style of it, and that I'm quite a big fan of those Studio Ghibli films. So that's sort of what drew me in, and I really did enjoy Limbo and Inside. So it was scratching that itch that I've been missing since. I did. The next game on my list was to play through that Somerville, which I've yet to play. So I'd be interested to do that one. But
I think out of the three, and it's unfair to tie them all together like this, but I think out of the three that I thought, they're kind of fitting in that same sort of bag. It was Cocoon, Planet of Lana, and then also Somerville. And I think Somerville got the worst of the reviews. In terms of, and I think that's what ultimately pushed it down the pecking order for me. But that's funny you mentioned that, because that falls. I know they're all going to be like, they're not the same. I was like, I know they're not the same.
No,
but they do
not
scratch a certain palate cleansing itch.
Exactly that. And that's exactly what it done. So it done what it did for me. And like I say, I did enjoy my time with it. But I would say that it's not one of these games. It's not like an Inside. Like, you remember, Inside now has this sort of cult.
It's a special,
you know, that
game for many people.
And a very special game. And you'd think, with this, I mean, if you're into that style of game, I would advise you to play. I think you will enjoy this game. But I think you will be much sure you sort of come out and go, that was good, but, you know, it hasn't really tickled the bollards and it doesn't put it in that upper echelon with Inside.
No, I suspect not. So let's do the whole gaming gallery piece.
Get that key out.
Well, I don't know what we're doing now. I've got in a right old state.
Oh, yeah.
So and whilst you're here, I might as well pick your brains and waste more of the audience's time for idle chat. So at one point we had, you know, you go in the gallery, you don't, there's keys coming out, and if you don't go in, that's the end of this conversation. Then some point in 2023, I was like, right, now everything goes in, but there's a bin that things go in if they don't get the grade in. But then I was like, I forgot that we've got Biff in our ranks who doesn't complete so many games, that there needs to always be a category for that, which to me would be a botchling bin of sorts.
Botchling bin.
Because that goes back into our sort of movie lore that we have a separate group for. If something gets binned off halfway through, it's called a botchling. But then I was like, hang on, I've already introduced this other bin for people to put stuff in.
Gosh,
so I'm not sure what to do at this stage.
Nah, I have to liquid
maybe the
old, that.
Yeah. But then I don't want unfinished Took going in the same place.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, it's hard to review unfinished Took.
Maybe there's
what's that game? I know it's Assassin's Creed Origins, when it really got like 25 minutes from the end. I went, no, I'm
yeah, literally.
Sick of it.
Yeah, it was like a 50-hour of experience, and you got like within an hour and then stopped it. And I was like, just finish it off. So annoying. So I have to think that through. But I'm leaning towards the botchling bin being there for things that aren't. I mean, I can't remember the last time a thing you put down didn't complete.
No, I mean,
really.
I'm terrible for that.
But you go back and finish them.
You typically, I'm trying to think if there's anything that really did go, no. Like, even Baldur's Gate, I haven't touched since about November, but I have every intention of going back.
Yeah.
Just that undertaking that I know. It's a very good game, but a very non-Adkins style game, that game.
Yeah.
And it's just getting into that mental headspace of going, right, I need to dedicate time for it. So I will go back, but I don't believe. Is that anything? I think something along the lines of, like, I got about 30% into like Hitman Absolution.
Now, dropped
whether
it.
I go back and do that again, you know, that's something.
You could put that in the botchling bin one day. It'll cleanse your soul because you'd have made the decision.
Yeah. Tell you what, Trials Rising. I technically haven't ever cleared that.
Mate,
that's going in the botchling bin.
I did that. I quote unquote completed that, and I wish I hadn't. It was such a waste of time. Like, by that point,
excited after we had Pee Wee on, yeah, the fusion, and showing the skill. We got, and it all come out. We all bought it. I remember me, Logan, all done it.
That's a howler. So I don't know. I'll think of a solution offline. But basically, I need a new category for things that have been finished but didn't earn the grading, like an unclassified.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call it. Anyway, no. I'll think of something offline. But anyway, we're into the. I was going to go hotel. Then it's not a hotel. We're in the gallery. Maybe that's what they get ching. They get checked into the island of irrelevancy if they don't get a grading.
There we go.
Take that, Cody. So what are we doing with this? Are we gonna grade it? We're gonna give it a gold.
Gonna give it a grade. I think it's very worthy. I believe it got quite high praise, to be fair.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna stick it at silver.
A nice silver for Planet of Lana.
A nice strong silver. Potentially
put that in the comments.
Yeah, really strong silver, almost a gold, but I probably wanted a bit more from some of the puzzles. I remember played a game called The Witness. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was like a sort of first person puzzle game.
That's one I botched.
That was a howler. At first, some of them puzzles, I was like, this is really clever. By the end, my fucking brain was like, what is this? A bit like old Hellblade. Maybe you had a stink with some of them, didn't they?
I hope they bloody improve those for Hellblade 2, otherwise it's going to be issues. But yeah, that's nice. A nice silver for Planet of Lana.
And again, power of the Game Pass. I mean, that was there day and day. Lovely bit of service there for it.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the Game Pass, because that's been, as far as I understand, that particular subscription has now been allowed to lapse. What's the feeling on what you're going to be doing with that? Is it going to be just picked up for random exclusives and then perhaps cleaning up these sort of smaller games until the end of the subscription? Have you got, because you're not, I've got it for another year and change, and then I might walk away from it after that. Yeah. I'm tired in already of these stacking of years.
I did cut it at Christmas after playing these games. Because of the Steam Deck.
I forgot you got that.
So some of these, the games like these, that now I've sort of prone to playing these on that now rather like playing games like that, Vampire Survivors, Sifu, which I can see going on to. Was it a PlayStation one? That one actually.
Yeah, it was originally.
See that going on to Game Pass. So my things now is probably the next one will be Hellblade, I'd imagine. So I'll pick it up again at Hellblade and run through that, and then the way they're talking, it sounds like Hellblade's going to be about a 5-hour experience.
I think it's going to be 10, less than 10, which, to be honest, if the puzzles are as bad as the first one, then fucking Halle fucking Lulia for that garbage.
Maybe that's what I'll probably do. I'll pick it up for a couple of months and I'll try and polish off maybe some of these little ones like Somerville, have a little play around with this Power World that keeps getting sniffed at. Something like that, but that's my vibe at the minute. That the Xbox, I was about to install Diablo. I got Diablo for Christmas, so I'm about to crack that onto the, because I'm very keen to get that started, because I've got it for Christmas on disc before that goes on to Game Pass.
Oh yeah, then I'll be of course. Up. Yeah, I mean,
I've already been done. I bought, it was last like Friday. I bought Far Cry 6 for a tenner. Now that's on Game Pass. I was like, oh, for bloody hell.
Well, is it not so bad now because you're not an active member of it? Do you know what I mean?
It's not so bad, to be fair,
Like, it's not, because a tenner also for Far Cry, that means you have to buy it and finish it within the month for it to be worthwhile.
I mean, the real thing is the likes of Resident Evil 4. I bought that day and date. I paid full whack for that. And
Yeah. I mean, that's probably bargain bin now. I can see that going on PS Plus soon. So I've got to get these games done. I've got this backlog.
He still carries on buying them, though. So he's just...
I've been playing the PC games now. They're fucking... I've bought... How many have I bought? I've bought fucking shitloads in the last fucking month. Bought loads of little crappers. I'm going to read some of them out just to entertain you. Get these bad boys out. So,
Fire Pro Wrestling World. Get in there.
Seven I've bought so far.
Oh, there we go.
So, Bob, actually, I bought more last year, actually. So, since I've owned the Steam Deck, KOTOR, Star Wars KOTOR, Sifu Dredge, Bright Memory, remember that game, Lego Star Wars, The Skywalker Saga, Stardew Valley, Vampire Survivor Series, and then this year I've bought Star Wars Force Unleashed, Ollie World, Trek to Yomi, Sonic Generations 1 and 2, Sonic Generations, and then Sonic Adventure 1 and 2.
No Dave the Diver
as of yet.
I saw Dredge on there, and I thought, oh, he's going to then complete the package with a Dave the Diver.
I bought Dredge, and then you showed me that package. I was like, to be fair, I haven't played it yet, so I could refund it, I think.
I think there's a time limit though. I don't think you can sit there for a year. I don't know what it is. It might be a month or so, but there's a usage limit, and also I think if you try and go back a year, they're like, no, you had a year to play that. But yeah, interesting. That Steam Deck's revitalised that, and
I'm surprised that I assume it's because I'd only picked it up in December, but it's getting played quite a bit, to be fair. And then Salmon's put me onto this emulation world, and that's a new conversation in itself. Again, getting all praise and getting it out of Christmas, showing the family, that was unbelievable. So yeah, there might have to be a conversation about that.
We'll get it all booked in. But for this particular episode, Planet of Lana earns itself a nice little silver and makes its way into the Dimp Digital graded part of the gallery in Adkins' personal exhibition. Nothing more for us to say other than thanks for your time and ta-da.
This was a Dimp Digital production.